Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull.
And we are back. Back, baby, once again for the Week 8 episode of Streamers and Starts and Sits for everyone's fantasy football matchups. We are the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. I am your host, Jeff Carrier, and along my side is Seth Lull, back for another great episode. And Seth, we're going to be talking about Week 8, of course, starters, starts and sits, and streamers. Looking at Week 8, forecasting out, what projects out to be your favorite fantasy matchup of the weekend?
So I got two. Can I give you two?
Of course. You can't make it simple and just select one.
I got one, but then there's another one that's kind of under the radar. So I think the obvious one and the one that I'm looking forward to the most is the Cowboys at the Redskins. You got two marquee quarterbacks, Dak against Kirk Cousins, Jordan Reed coming off by far his best performance this season. You obviously have Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant for Dallas. A lot of star power in this game. It's an in-division game. Both teams are 3-3. Some major fantasy implications, too. I think it's going to be high scoring, somewhere, you know, probably in the, you know, mid to high 40s. What were you saying?
I was going to ask you, tell me exactly, you know, what spots intrigues you the most, which you're kind of doing right now. Dak keep it up? I mean, this guy has been an absolute complete machine, and I'm pulling up the numbers right now just to see where he ranks for the season when we're talking about quarterbacks. He's fourth overall right now. Listen to this surprising top five. If I were to say to you, you know, the top five quarterbacks, depending on your league scoring, this is one of our leagues: Alex Smith, Carson Wentz, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, and Deshaun Watson. Holy crap.
Yep. Great year for those under the radar quarterbacks, right? This is why you don't pay up, or you don't need to pay up, for the Drew Brees of the world. And Aaron Rodgers, obviously, with the injury, you can't predict that. He was a stud when he went down, but
yep.
Great year for those up and coming quarterbacks, for sure.
Cam Newton has 9 passing touchdowns and 10 interceptions, but still finds himself inside the top 10. There's a saying that me and you like to use sometimes, and it's like, what a just a scumbag play. I mean, this guy is totally dependent on rushing touchdowns and rushing yards. He can't throw the ball. I'm off on a little side note. So what was your second matchup?
All right, well first, I'm going to say that both games last year against the Redskins and Cowboys were somewhat high scoring. First game was 27-23 with Dallas getting the win. And the second game on Thanksgiving, I think it was the Thanksgiving Day game, was Cowboys 31, Redskins 26. So, and we just saw with Philadelphia and Washington, these NFC East matchups that don't involve the Giants are good games. They're somewhat high scoring. So I think it's going to go back and forth, going to be kind of a shootout. So that's the first game. And the other game, I think, which is kind of sneaky, maybe a little bit under the radar, is Pittsburgh at Detroit. I really, really like this game for several reasons. There's no Martavis Bryant. They demoted him to the practice squad. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are going to be studs on Sunday. I think this is the Sunday night game, actually, too. So good game on prime time. I think Big Ben has a solid day. And on the Detroit side, no Golden Tate, most likely. I expect either Marvin Jones or Kenny Golladay to have a big game. And both of these guys are available in a lot of leagues, especially Golladay. And we talked about him in the waiver wire episode. So I like this matchup as well. I think it's going to be high scoring. I don't know how under the radar it is, but what are your thoughts on the Pittsburgh-Detroit game?
I'll tell you, I agree with you totally on the Dallas-Washington. I'm actually extremely surprised that the schedule makers didn't put that on Sunday night. I mean, they somehow did not put Washington and Dallas on Sunday night. We need to give them a round of applause or something, because it's nearly impossible for the NFL not to put NFC East matchups on Sunday night or prime time, like we saw last week with Monday night. Anyhow.
Yeah, but you'd much rather, and we usually joke about that because we hate watching these NFC matchups, East matchups on prime time, but I'd love to see the Cowboys-Redskins at that Sunday night
slot.
As funny as that is,
normally we do complain about it, but in this scenario, I would much rather watch Dallas and Washington in primetime versus Pittsburgh and Detroit. Pittsburgh is just not sexy to watch. I don't enjoy watching the coach for Detroit. I'm drawing a blank here. And anyways, help me out. Jim Caldwell.
Jeez, that's pretty slow to react on that one. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah. I don't feel the same way that you do about the Pittsburgh-Detroit game, because Pittsburgh on the road, Detroit has a lot of these sloppy games. Sometimes they play better than they should, but they play sometimes up to the level defensively. And we've seen what Pittsburgh has done on the road, struggling. They have committed to Le'Veon Bell in a way that we haven't seen many teams. I mean, we're talking multiple 30-yard carry games now this year. So I'm a little hesitant in this game. It's got a 45.5 over-under. Not high, not overly high, not super low.
Yeah.
I think it could be kind of a slow kind of, I don't know, boring game. I guess maybe it's got some fantasy upside. So I'm a little off on that one compared to you, but I mean the Dallas Washington game.
I think Pittsburgh's putting up 30 points in this game. I think their offense is going to break out in a big way. Maybe not having Martavis Bryant around, that having that distraction, maybe that's addition by subtraction. Maybe their offense just plays a little bit looser. Maybe Juju Schuster has a pretty good game out of the slot. I don't know. I really like this matchup. I know it's not projected to be one of the top five high scoring games, but it's indoors on prime time. I mean, I like it. What more can I say?
Yeah, indoors prime time is a good point. And sometimes you just have those intuitions. I know last week you commented on, hey, I just think that the Buffalo Tampa Bay game is going to be a little bit higher scoring. It wasn't tremendously high scoring, but 30-27, that's a lot of scoring. That's a good enough scoring to make a lot of fantasy people happy. So I agree with you there. All right, let's get into this scenario of some starts and some sits. We'll start breaking down game by game, I guess, or we'll kind of jump around to it. Let's start by actually position, the same way we did it last week. I like how we did that. So let's go ahead and start with the quarterbacks, and let's start with quarterback starts of the week outside of your, I guess, obvious picks.
Yeah, so one of my favorite quarterbacks that's a little bit under the radar is Andy Dalton this week. Now, in a one quarterback league, he's probably available on the waiver wire. In two quarterback leagues, he's owned most likely. I love him against Indianapolis. Andy Dalton beats up on bad defenses. You look at what he did against Cleveland, 4 touchdowns. In Green Bay, threw 2 touchdowns, no picks, right? When he plays a defense that isn't very good or a team that isn't very good, he's usually good at capitalizing. This game is also at home. And I expect A.J. Green to have a big game as well. I just think that Andy Dalton, I don't see any scenario in which Andy Dalton, he might not throw for 300 yards because they might get up big early. I think Joe Mixon's also going to have a big day, and we'll talk about that when we get into running backs. But I think he goes for minimum 250 passing yards, at least 2 touchdowns. I think there's a very good chance he throws 3. No interceptions. I think he has a very, very good day. So he's one of my favorite pound for pound quarterbacks this week, just based on
UFC
his value.
Matchup, pound for pound,
pound. just based on. I mean, I obviously love Dak and I love Kirk Cousins.
Based on the amount of red hair that someone could possibly have, he is at the top of your list.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you disagree.
No. I was just expecting it. I was just trying to be humorous over there, and you just were reciprocating.
On the flip side, like a quarterback that's ranked higher than him this week, that's projected for more points, that I think is overrated, is Philip Rivers this week.
Oh.
Going up playing in New England against a defense that has been playing very well to shut out the Atlanta Falcons. So I think if you have Dalton, you have Rivers, a lot of people might look at it and say, I'm not starting Dalton, I'm going to start Rivers because it's Dalton, right? But I think Dalton has more points than Philip Rivers this week. And I also like him more than someone like a Drew Brees playing Chicago, a Chicago defense that has actually been playing pretty solid this year and it doesn't throw the ball. So you gotta really wonder how much New Orleans is going to have to throw the ball to match them. I think it's going to be a big ground and pound game for New Orleans. So I think Andy Dalton for what he usually brings you most weeks, which is, you know, a lot of mediocre quarterback play. I think he has a big week, probably not as big as his week four performance against Cleveland, but I think he's going to put up his second best performance of the year.
Okay, so I don't want to confuse everyone just because you did talk about a quarterback that I do like a lot in Rivers. So I think they're both starts, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think both of those quarterbacks are really positive starts. And maybe if you have both of them, you're signed between both of them, maybe there's a little bit of a toss-up. I think Andy Dalton is in a prime spot this week. I think it's pretty easy to look at the Indianapolis Colts matchup and like a lot of what you see there. Hopefully, Cincinnati sticks a little bit more to the run than what they did last week. And then, you know, but to your point about Phillip Rivers, though, I actually really like Phillip Rivers this week a lot. And I would actually potentially start him over Andy Dalton because I could see maybe Cincinnati getting into the zone of we're ahead. Now they have to get ahead at some place or somehow in order to actually get into a full, you know, running game scenario. But I could see that happening a lot more than I see Phillip Rivers, who's going to have to throw literally all game long. And one of the reasons why I think it's different to look at Phillip Rivers than Matt Ryan is, one is Phillip Rivers is significantly better at using his checkdowns. Matt Ryan does a pretty good job striking downfield, and whatever it is, you can see Matt Ryan get in these funks. Now, depending on what kind of league you're in, Matt Ryan still ended up with either 15 or 21 points. I'm looking at a couple of our leagues at the kind of a big range because of the passing touchdowns. So 15 to 21 points. So Matt Ryan, who practically got shot out, still got at the very minimum 15 points. New England really struggles with passing backs out of the backfield. You probably wish that Atlanta did that a little bit more to New England. Also, they struggle against tight ends a lot. And Atlanta doesn't really have a tight end. And Los Angeles Chargers have at least one really good one in Hunter Henry. And I think they have more overall weapons with Benjamin and Tyrell Williams and Keenan Allen. So I just think there's more there for Phillip Rivers to do his dink and dunk thing. And I like the matchup a lot. So you disagree a little bit.
Well, I don't love the matchup. I do like it. I think Rivers is a very good play. I just think that Andy Dalton's a better play. Andy Dalton is the 8th ranked quarterback this week, according to ESPN and the projections. Rivers is the 5th ranked. So, you know, we're splitting hairs to some extent on this one. I just think if I had Rivers and Dalton, I had to start one, I'm starting Dalton just because I know that I can count on the touchdown passes from Dalton against a bad opponent like Cleveland. And we know, you know, I like Joe Mixon in this game too, but Cincinnati hasn't shown the willingness to stick to the run. So I don't see this as being a situation like New Orleans the other week where, you know, they have like 10 rushing touchdowns, which really hurt Drew Brees' fantasy output. So I think that the touchdowns for Cincinnati are going to be through the air. Both good matchups, though. I just like Dalton a little more.
Okay. All right. So we're in agreement that they're both good plays. And so, again, I don't want to confuse everyone with being like, oh, one person doesn't like the other person across the entire field. We like both of them to play this week. It just, if we had both of those quarterbacks, maybe we choose a different one. You pick Andy Dalton, I pick Phillip Rivers. But for, you know, start and sit scenarios, let me throw some other quarterbacks at you and see if you would start these people over Phillip Rivers just to kind of gauge where he is compared to some other people in the field. Case Keenum against Cleveland.
I would much rather start Dalton than – I don't think it's close. Hands down, Dalton. I also don't like those lending games.
Okay, what about Phillip Rivers?
Phillip Rivers. For me, it would go Dalton, Rivers, and then Casey. I mean, come on. Casey Keenum's a distant third out of those three.
Okay, I'm just gauging here. Okay, Josh McCown at home against Atlanta. You taking Rivers and Dalton?
I am. Okay. But I have a lot more respect for McCown after seeing him, you know, do what he's been doing for a few weeks in a row now. I think McCown and Keenum is close, but I would have to go with McCown slightly over Keenum.
Okay. I got another good one for you here. Derek Carr versus Dalton and Rivers. Derek Carr's in Buffalo.
I would take him third. I think it's a no-brainer. I think you go You still go Dalton Rivers, Carr. I think Tyrod Taylor, he's another quarterback that I like this week. You know, Oakland for, you know, everybody thinks they have a great pass rush with Khalil Mack and whatnot. They are tied for 27th in the NFL in sacks with only 12. Their defense is among the worst in the league. KC just threw all over them. So I think Buffalo is going to be able to move the ball and score points. I believe they're at home, right? Buffalo's at home. Yep. So I like Tyrod Taylor. You know, his ceiling is somewhat capped because he's not going to throw for over 300 passing yards. He's yet to do that this year. He's not going to throw for, you know, more than two touchdowns most likely, but he's going to contribute on the ground. He's going to, you know, put up some rushing yards. He's going to throw at least one or two touchdowns. So I like him as a high floor, low ceiling, under the radar fantasy quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, and those are just some of the other streamer like potentials. I just kind of wanted to gauge how you thought about them against Dalton and Rivers. So I think we have an idea of just kind of how high both Dalton and Rivers are compared to some of the other potential start, sit, / streaming options.
Yep. Any other quarterbacks that we left out that you'd like to add to that? Or
no, I think Phillip Rivers was my big one, and I guess we kind of just hit both of them off there alongside Andy Dalton. You know, Kansas City's been giving up a lot of points through the air. You know, can Trevor Siemian have a bounce back week? We don't know. It's in division. It's on the road. Probably not. You're still going to probably start some of those other names ahead of him until he actually does something. But what about players that you don't like that you're going to go ahead and sit, Seth?
So one quarterback that I'd be weary on starting, despite the juicy matchup, is Trevor Siemian. He's playing Kansas City, one of the worst teams against the pass this year. It was evident. We saw that last Thursday night against Oakland, where Amari Cooper, you know, probably could have had, you know, 300 passing receiving yards if he didn't drop those two passes. So, you know, I think Trevor Siemian is a great matchup, but they've struggled. They have injuries. Emmanuel Sanders might not play. So if you have Trevor Siemian, I would probably disregard the matchup on paper and what his projections are, and I would probably sit Trevor Siemian. I know that's not, you know, going completely out on a limb, because in a one quarterback league, obviously you're not in a position where you're going to have to start Siemian. But in a two quarterback league, I would sit Siemian. Another quarterback that I'm worried about is Matt Stafford. I know it is commented on. I like that game, which I do. I like that game for Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, and everybody on Pittsburgh side. But Matt Stafford has been pretty average this year. You know, since week one against Arizona, where he threw four touchdowns, he really hasn't had a big fantasy week yet. So, and then he's playing a team in Pittsburgh that can get after the quarterback. They are one of the, I think they're the tied for second in the NFL with Carolina in sacks. So they're going to be able to get after the quarterback. And if I think this game is going to be high scoring, mainly because of Pittsburgh's side. But if there is one team that struggles, I think it's going to be Detroit, no Golden Tate. So I'm staying away from Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one to point out, because especially with the name value there, you know,
exactly. Yeah,
a lot of people are just going to keep him in the lineup. You've got to really look elsewhere, I think, especially if you really want to try and have some big production out of your quarterback spot. Which, you know, who doesn't? It's a quarterback. Pittsburgh has just been too good. Even with Andy Dalton coming out looking pretty good against the tough matchup last week and throwing the two touchdowns, they completely shut him down for the rest of the game. So whatever Pittsburgh has done this year, specific to the passing game and quarterbacks, it's worked out well. And obviously they brought in Joe Hayden before the start of the season and some other rookies and so forth. It's worked out well. So you can't start Matt Stafford against Pittsburgh. And what are your thoughts on Matt Moore Thursday night? I know this is going to be
really, I like him.
Really?
I do like him. Now, again, we're talking probably two quarterback leagues. I'm not streaming him in a one quarterback league. And I do think it's a risky play because Baltimore's defense still has the potential to play well. I just think with Flacco, he's going to turn the ball over. He's going to have quick three and outs. He's going to put his defense in tough situations all game long. You're looking at their receiving core for Baltimore. They're most likely not going to have two out of these three: Mike Wallace, Jeremy Maclin, and Breshad Perriman. So I think they're going to struggle. And sometimes, as a fantasy quarterback, one of the best assets for them and one of the best ways they can succeed is playing an opposing offense that can't move the ball and turns the ball over, because it gives them extra possessions. So I think that's what we're going to see out of Matt Moore. I think he's got I think it's the downside is pretty low. And I like him in a two quarterback league. I'd have no problem starting Matt Moore.
Yeah, I'd be a little hesitant. I mean, obviously in a two quarterback league, it always makes it tricky because sometimes you just don't have the flexibility that you wish you had. Surprisingly, though, Baltimore's defense has been exceptional against quarterbacks this year. Now, they haven't played all of the best, but even against Oakland, even against, and I guess that was against EJ Manuel, but, you know, Pittsburgh, they completely demolished Andy Dalton. They haven't had the best case study in terms of, and I don't think this is exactly the best case study either in terms of Matt Moore. And I think part of the reason, though, that they haven't allowed a ton of points to quarterbacks is because of how bad the Baltimore's offense has been. It's almost like teams kind of get ahead because of some of what you've talked about with the turnovers, and then the opposing team gets super conservative. We saw that a little bit last week with Minnesota and just a lot of other teams, and I think Miami's most certainly in that category because it's like they have Matt Moore. They don't want to make a mistake, so you're going to probably see them run in some bad looks when they shouldn't, just because it's going to be a little bit more conservative. They know they can punt. They know they probably have a lead at some point. So I would look probably elsewhere if possible.
You know what I think is the most intriguing? I don't know if this is a start or sit, but the most intriguing quarterback matchup of the entire weekend is?
Enlighten me.
Is Deshaun Watson. I think he is. I'm really interested to see what he does against Seattle. Something's got to give in this game because you have a rookie, first time facing Seattle on the road, good defense, all that crowd noise, you know, the great home field advantage for Seattle. You look at the last four games for Deshaun Watson since he's really started coming on. He started off, you know, give him a pass the first couple weeks, played Jacksonville at home in his first game, in Cincinnati the second game. But, you know, weeks three through six, he played New England, Tennessee, KC, and Cleveland. Four very porous pass defenses, and he's torched them. So we know that he can beat up on bad secondaries pretty easily. And you look on the Seattle side, their defense hasn't played anybody this year in terms of opposing offenses. They played, besides the Green Bay week one, they played San Fran, Tennessee, Indy, the Los Angeles Rams, and the New York Giants. The only two teams they've played at home have been Indy and San Fran. So they haven't played. I think this is probably the best offense easily that they've played at home this year. And this is going to be by far the best defense that Deshaun Watson has played since week one against Jacksonville. So I think this will be a good matchup. What's your take on Deshaun Watson? If you had him, are you starting him?
You have to just because of what his schedule is. But, you know, we haven't talked a lot about him recently, especially with the bye last week. But I have been surprised of how well he's played because I didn't like him the way I liked, you know, Carson Wentz, for example, or even really kind of Trubisky coming out of college. But he's looked like a really good player. But I am very, extremely skeptical that he can keep any remote of this up. I mean, he had a game against Cincinnati that without a 50-yard run looked like complete garbage. Now, it was his first rookie start. Then he goes and plays, you know, the number one points given up defense in New England, then Tennessee, then KC, then Cleveland. I think he's not as bad as maybe against in Cincinnati, and definitely not as good as the past few weeks because many people aren't. I just think his touchdown efficiency is extremely high right now. But when I say that, I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days. What teams are really good at running in touchdowns these days? Please tell me what teams, because I was looking at, like, Seattle. They can't run in touchdowns.
Nah.
Russell Wilson has to throw them all or run them himself.
Seem like when teams get the ball, even at, like, the 2 or 3 or 1 yard line, it seems like more often than ever this year, they're just either passing or they're getting stuffed at the goal line more than ever. You don't see teams just pounded in inside the 5 like we've seen in years past. So I agree.
Yeah, and the game last Monday night, you know, I had some major implications on that game, and I'm watching Kirk Cousins. I'm like, can you guys just run it in? And they can't run it in. Washington's not running it in. Philly can barely run it in. You know, I don't know what teams run in the football anymore, it seems like.
Yep. All right, shall we get some running backs now? I got a couple good under-the-radar ones.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get to the running back starts.
Okay, so I'm going to start with a couple under the radar running backs. One is Theo Riddick, who I actually like this week. You know, for deeper leagues, if you have to start multiple flexes and you're hit with the bye weeks, I just think so. Pittsburgh is 26th in the NFL in terms of giving up receptions to running backs. Now, I've always kind of made fun of those stats in the past, but 26th to the running backs, and the fact that they blitz a lot and they're among the leaders in sacks, it makes sense. They're more susceptible to giving up those dump offs to the running backs, and Detroit is going to have to utilize that this week to have any chance to sustain drives. There's no Golden Tate, who's their PPR monster, their possession receiver. You have Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay, who mainly play on the perimeter. I think Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah are each solid starts. And I like Theo Riddick maybe a little bit more. I think on prime time, I think I see him getting 5 to 6 catches, and he gets in the end zone. Considering, you know, the fact that he's probably dropped in a lot of leagues, he's only owned in 64% of leagues now. That's gone down, you know, 4%, I believe, in the last week. So I think Theo Riddick is someone who's in for a solid day for his standards, probably his best week since week one when he had 14 fantasy points.
I hope so, because he's one of those players that I have in one league, and a lot of people have probably still been holding on to him just because it's like, okay, in a PPR, of course, you know, like, geez, I mean, I'm more than happy to drop him. Then you look on the waivers, and it's like, oh, man, there's no one to drop, at least if you're in a deep league. So we need some life out of this guy. I mean, he's still catching 4 or 5 balls a game, squeezing out 9 to 10 points the last couple weeks. You know, that surely has been nice, but definitely not the amount of usage that you expect out of Theo Riddick in the past. And he's not getting any carries, 1-2 carries a game. So I hope you're right. I think it is kind of a potential sneaky play, as you mentioned, because of the great secondary that Pittsburgh has. How and without Golden Tate, who's going to turn into their slot machine? You know, who's going to be catching balls from it more horizontally, because Jim Bob Cooter uses a lot more of a horizontal quick passing game. Hopefully Theo Riddick is that. I think this is definitely has the game script possibilities to be in line with Theo Riddick.
Yeah, and another running back similar to a Theo Riddick situation that I like a lot this week is Javorius Allen. Because like we just mentioned with Baltimore, the problems that they've had on offense, moving the ball, throwing the ball down the field. Jeremy Maclin battling a concussion, or I think a shoulder injury. Mike Wallace is battling a concussion. Breshad Perriman has been practicing, but he hasn't played in a few weeks. And even if he does play, what has Breshad Perriman ever done, right? So they're most likely going to be without two of their top three receivers. Benjamin Watson is off and on, you know, in terms of getting production out of him. So they're going to rely heavily on Javorius Allen, who is quietly on pace for 260-plus touches and 61 catches. So he's, you know, he doesn't have a ton of upside because he hasn't been doing a ton with the touches he's been getting, 3.7 yards per carry. You know, obviously not many big plays at all coming from Baltimore's offense in general. But this is a guy who's going to have, you know, 6 to 15 carries, and he's going to get, you know, probably 10 plus. I see him getting at least 10 targets in this game with the personnel that's going to be out for Baltimore. So again, another Theo Riddick type play that that might be available in your league if you have him, you're starting him. So I like Javorius Allen a lot, especially considering Alex Collins is somebody, you know, that he battles for touches with, but Alex Collins doesn't catch the ball at all. So love Javorius Allen this year. Like him a little bit more than Theo Riddick. I put him in the next tier up, but I think, you know, for daily too, I think Javorius Allen is going to be, you know, a great, great play.
Great. I mean, it's so great you need to add that twice.
Well, based on value, I mean, would you rather, if there was no such thing as a salary cap in FanDuel or DraftKings, and you can only pick one, him or Ezekiel Elliott, you know, you're taking Elliott, obviously, but I think he's going to give you a good return, both in daily, and then if you have him and you have to start him like I do in a couple of my leagues, I'm very happy starting Javorius Allen.
Yeah, he's definitely been someone that you've been a little bit more in tuned with, keeping an eye on. You know, I didn't realize he got 13 targets last week, but then I asked you how many points he got. He got 13 points. I don't know who gets 13 targets and gets 13 points at PPR. It's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Javorius Allen does.
So for those reasons, I can't buy into it. I just, to me, he would definitely be a play if he was on Sunday, and I'm waiting to maybe see if, you know, like Emmanuel Sanders is or isn't playing, and then I get to swap him out or something like that. The fact that I have to lock him in on Thursday, so if anyone does play him on Thursday, make sure you throw him in the running back spot. Don't throw him in the flex spot. Let's not be amateurs here. Use up the running back spot so you have more flexibility at the flex. The fact that I have to use him up and lock him in on Thursday, I don't know. I would hope that I'm in that scenario on my team. So
yeah, I mean, try and go with some under the radar. Yeah, I know a lot of people at this time of year are in a pinch. One of my favorite running backs this week, probably outside of Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott, he might be my third favorite running back. Mark Ingram. He's the fourth highest projected running back according to ESPN going into this week. Obviously, you know, based on your league scorings, that could change a little bit. But for PPR, obviously, he's been a monster since they traded Adrian Peterson. 47 total carries over the last 2 weeks, 119 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, and he also catches the ball, 9 catches in the past 2 weeks for 41 yards. So I love running backs like this that are the true definition. There are very few in the NFL now, but he's the true definition of a workhorse, someone that's going to get over 20 carries while also getting the goal line carries and also catching the ball for 4 times or more. I mean, he's had 4 catches or more in 5 out of the last 6 games.
Yeah, we've seen New Orleans commit to the run if they can get ahead. Chicago refuses to get a lead, so you definitely anticipate New Orleans being ahead. So I like it. I mean, he's the usage in New Orleans has been completely different. And with someone who touches the ball that many times with a home, you know, home favorites are always the best. One set two, I think probably a must start, maybe kind of like Mark Ingram, but we like even more so, you know, maybe if you have shallow benches. I haven't mentioned his name probably all year, but Christian McCaffrey, we've seen the Tampa Bay Buccaneers bleed points to plenty of running backs. We saw what McCoy did to them last week. I'm not too sure if Carolina will be playing from behind or ahead, but clearly, you know, clearly they're throwing the ball a lot to Christian McCaffrey right now. So I like Christian McCaffrey. He had 7 catches last week, 10 catches the week before that. And the way that the amount of points that Tampa Bay has been giving up to running backs, I think he's a must start this week.
And another running back that I really like this week, and I'm going to call his breakout game right now, Joe Mixon against Indianapolis at home after, you know, I guess kind of complaining. It was more so complaining that the, you know, that all their running backs, none of them were, that they weren't running the ball in general in the second half at all against Pittsburgh. You know, he said, look at Le'Veon Bell getting 36 carries. I feel like I'm that guy. And I just feel like a lot of times we see teams, you know, when a player speaks out, he's going to start getting the rock. Squeaky wheel gets the grease against an Indianapolis team that's given up more rushing touchdowns than any defense in the NFL. They've given up 10 touchdowns to running backs, or 10 rushing touchdowns. So the matchup for Joe Mixon, again, I expect them, Cincinnati, to get up at home with Andy Dalton through the air, and then I think it's going to be Joe Mixon big time. I think Joe Mixon's going to get in the end zone, and he's going to have over 100 yards rushing.
Trust me, I would love for that to be the case. It almost seems like it's, you know, it's simple to say, let's use the principle of Occam's razor, and, you know, let's utilize Joe Mixon while we get a lead and, you know, chew the clock down. But this is Marvin Lewis we're talking about, and I highly doubt that's going to be the scenario. I want to believe it, but I mean,
I believe it. I am going all in. Joe Mixon's going to be a guy that I'm using in daily this week, and he's going to be in all my lineups for the most part. And I like him in season long too. I just think if you have Joe Mixon, you're all in. You're going down with the ship. You have to start him this week. I feel like he's going to break out, and he's got a solid floor anyway. So I feel like there's not a ton of risk associated with Joe Mixon. He's going to be hovering around double-digit fantasy points anyways, but I think he has a lot of upside this week. But my question for you, though, is I think one matchup that we've been getting a lot of questions about has been the Cleveland-Minnesota situation. The game in London, 9:30, Jerick McKinnon, Latavius Murray, what are you doing with these running backs? Because I feel like I might have a different take than you on this. Do you love Latavius Murray? He had that one. He had a really good week last week. A big performance, 113 rushing yards and a touchdown. Are you buying into that? And do you like the matchup?
No, I'm not buying into it. It's another one of those scenarios where Baltimore pose zero threat on them. I guess you could say the exact same thing for Cleveland. If I had to choose, I'm assuming that we have to choose one or the other. I mean, if you have both of them, you know, then I don't know what this. I mean, we're choosing between one of them, and I'm going to choose McKinnon because he's just more physically gifted, and he's done it for a few more weeks. Latavius Murray had that really long run last week. So while they're in a semi-similar scenario in terms of you looking to them being ahead all game, I'm still going to go with McKinnon. Was that the question, who I like more?
Yeah. McKinnon or Latavius Murray, because I think a lot of people are going to completely jump ship and go over to Latavius Murray's side based on that one good performance. But he, you know, Latavius Murray doesn't catch the ball, right? He had zero catches last week, three catches in his last 3 weeks total. Jerick McKinnon, I think, has like 14 catches. So Jerick McKinnon is going to be the guy through the air, and he still had 14 carries last week. So it's not like he gave up all the carries. He conceded all the carries to Latavius Murray. It's going to be a timeshare, pretty much a 50-50 split. But Jerick McKinnon is going to be the guy that's usually, more often than not, going to get the big plays, and he's going to be the one that catches the passes. So I like Jerick McKinnon a lot this week as a bounce-back guy. And I'm still not buying into Latavius Murray. I need Latavius Murray to show me this 2 weeks in a row. And we talked about it last week with the Tennessee running backs. Cleveland's pretty good against the run. And what happened on Sunday? They pretty much shut down Tennessee's running backs, which isn't saying a ton because they've struggled. But I just, Latavius Murray is one-dimensional. He is a first and second down running back. I don't love the matchup against Cleveland. Even if they get up, you know, I don't know if they're going to be up by a ton where they're going to need to just pound the rock. And if they do, I think it's going to be a 50-50 split. I like McKinnon.
Yep. And just two quick points on that, that you just kind of mentioned. Baltimore is the 11th worst team against the run, where Cleveland is like the 6th best. So completely different teams they're facing. And Latavius Murray didn't have much different in usage, you know, 18, 15, and 12 is his carries the last few weeks. 1 week, he just happened to be more efficient than the others. That's just the bottom line. Let's not read it into too much. He doesn't catch the ball. He's getting similar carries week to week. 1 week, he just had a little bit better of a matchup, had a nice long run for a touchdown, and is what it is.
Yeah, and let's get to some running backs that we're going to sit, because there's one running back that he's available in 70 – well – he's owned in 74% of leagues, but he's available in a couple of our leagues. And I always look at his projections, because I usually sort by projections on the waiver wire to see if there's anybody, any low-hanging fruit. And he must be the most over-projected running back on a week-to-week basis. I'm talking about Jonathan Stewart. I'm looking at his projection right now, 11.5 points, at least the second week in a row when he's been projected for over 10 points. And he, pitiful, if you look at his numbers, 4.8 points last week, negative 0.4 points week before, 7.4. He hasn't scored double-digit fantasy points since week one against San Francisco. And with Christian McCaffrey doing what he's been doing, he's top five in the NFL, I believe, in receptions. Jonathan Stewart, guess how many catches Jonathan Stewart has in the year?
Four.
Six catches on the entire year, seven games, six catches, no catches in the last two games. So, again, kind of like a Latavius Murray one-trick pony. Yeah, he gets the carries. He's actually racking up a decent amount of carries, but he's not getting the touchdowns and he's not getting catches. I'm staying away.
No, I completely agree. And just having Stewart there was part of the reason why, you know, that we both just could not fully buy into McCaffrey. And he's had a pretty decent year, thank God, just through the catches. But it could be a significantly better year if they just realize that they need to stop using Stewart. So I think that's definitely a really good one. And another one too that I think, you know, I know he was a waiver pickup, Seth, and Jalen Richard, but these Oakland running backs going into Buffalo, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do. They basically had the full game last week. They both split time very evenly. Both came out okay, you know, in terms of the game, in a very high-scoring game, both around 10 points, and they both didn't do a whole lot. We saw what Buffalo did against Doug Martin last week. I still think he's worth picking up, Jalen Richard, and probably stashing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't start him because he is a waiver pickup. But, you know, if you have someone like, you know, a Theo Riddick, you're probably going to start him maybe over Richard. I don't know, maybe that's a good one for you to talk about. But I just think that there could be a little bit of fool's gold here with Marshawn Lynch being out and Oakland going into Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, Theo Riddick, Jalen Richard, that's a good call. That's a complete toss-up to me. I mean, I think I would probably lean towards Theo Riddick just because not having Golden Tate. I don't know, though. I wouldn't feel good about it. Jalen Richard, ideally, you're not in a position where you're going to have to start either Richard or DeAndre Washington, right? I'm in a league where I'm starting Jalen Richard. My only other option is really like Juju Smith-Schuster. We're in a big league where we have to start two running backs, two receivers, three flex, and you know we have shallow benches, so it's tough, and with all the bye weeks and whatnot. I think Jalen Richard is going to have a solid floor. I think he's going to at least hopefully get me 8 to 10 fantasy points, worst case scenario. But I don't know. I don't know if he has a ton of upside. I don't know what the split is going to be. You know, sometimes when, you know, I've heard the same thing in Dallas. You know, there were, you know, if Zeke does get suspended, Derek McFadden might be the guy that takes over most of the carries. The reason that he's not getting the touches now is because he's too similar in style to Ezekiel Elliott. And that's what teams will do. They'll have somebody like Alfred Morris, who's more of a compliment. But if the starter goes down, the guy who wasn't playing, Darren McFadden, steps in and actually takes over. So I don't know what to expect because none of these running backs have been put in a position where they've been giving the expanded workload. So maybe it's going to be DeAndre Washington.
Yeah. Well, and again, to my point, I mean, they had basically a full game last week, you know, because Lynch was out the full game. Maybe they game plan. They have a full week of game planning, so that changes things around. I'm just saying, and I have to start Jalen Richard in the league too. So if you have to start him, hey, you have to start him. It is what it is. There's bye weeks. But do not get enamored, is my point, with the fact that Marshawn Lynch is out and you're going to overstart him over someone who's guaranteed a floor of like 10 points. Because at that point, I think you go and take the points. I don't know.
Yeah, and I obviously like Javorius Allen more than Richard and Washington. I like Theo Riddick a little bit more. So that kind of puts it in perspective where I'm at with those guys. I like them just because they're low risk. They're not going to get you a zero bomb, but the upside, and it's not like Marshawn Lynch was getting, you know, 20 touches a game and, you know, they have 20 extra touches to go around. I mean, he wasn't being used very much anyways.
Right. All right, let's move on to wide receivers now. Let's pick out your wide receiver starts.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the game that we talked about at the top. Detroit-Pittsburgh, I love Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay is available in a lot of leagues, and Marvin Jones, on paper, figures to be the best play with no Golden Tate. Against a somewhat solid Pittsburgh secondary, at least according to the stats, but they also don't scare me at the same time. I don't look at them as a, you know, where they have shut down corners and there's no way that Detroit's going to be able to move the ball. So I like Marvin Jones a lot. And Kenny Golladay is only owned in 18.8% of ESPN leagues. So he's been injured. He hasn't played in the last 3 weeks, but he did have that big week one against Arizona. Didn't do anything the two games following. I just think Kenny Golladay or Marvin Jones, one of them has a good day. I'm not sure who it's going to be. But I do like them as under-the-radar plays.
I think it's an interesting one because, you know, the tough matchup that they have, obviously with Tate out and potentially having to throw the ball. I'm just still not buying Detroit putting up and doing a whole lot. So I'm a little off that on you, but we'll see what happens this weekend and Sunday night.
Yep, another player we talked about in the waiver wire segment this week was Benny Fowler. And I'm going to be monitoring Emmanuel Sanders' progress this week, see if he's practicing and ultimately if he's going to play or not. Because if Emmanuel Sanders does not play and he didn't practice today, then I like Benny Fowler a lot against a Chiefs secondary that struggled all year, you know, especially the second corner. and their slot corner. You know, Marcus Peters is obviously a good corner, but overall that unit has struggled. So I like Benny Fowler a lot. Last week was his first week without Emmanuel Sanders. 5 catches, 45 yards. I think similar to a Rashard type play, I think a very solid floor with limited upside, but I think he has upside to get you 6 catches, 90 yards, touchdown. A lot of it's going to depend on Trevor Siemian and how he plays against one of the worst pass defenses in football.
Yep, I like that a lot as well, and you can even say the same for DT on having a bounce-back game. We know that the production really goes through those two wide receivers, if it's Fowler / Sanders. So I like a good bounce-back game for those Denver receivers.
Yep. My favorite receiver of the week is A.J. Green, and obviously that's a chalk play in daily, and obviously if you have A.J. Green, you're starting him, so I'm not breaking any news there or going out on a limb. But A.J. Green's my favorite play of the week. I think he's going to be a monster. So there's that. Another player that I really like this week is I like the Washington offense, and I guess we'll get into tight ends. I was going to go with Jordan Reed. He's not a receiver. Got a little carry away there. A receiver that I really like this week is Jarvis Landry against Miami.
Jarvis Landry against Miami? Damn.
Against Baltimore. I'm sure he's been tearing up in practice, so he's been good against Miami, I'm sure. But no, I love Jarvis Landry this week. And again, another player, if you have him, you're rolling with him. But he's been on an absolute tear, and the touchdowns have been coming for Jarvis Landry. 3 straight games with a touchdown for Jarvis Landry, among the league leaders in receptions. He's always been that guy. But the touchdowns are coming this year. No Devontae Parker, most likely, right? I know you have him in a couple leagues. You could probably update me on his status. But
limited today.
Yeah. So questionable. And it's a Thursday game. Quick turnaround. So assuming Devontae Parker, I mean, even if Parker plays, Jarvis Landry's still a must start. But even if he doesn't play, Jarvis Landry is probably one of my top 5 favorite receivers this week. Just given the volume, you know, the amount of targets that he's going to get, and the fact that he's actually shown he can get in the end zone, which is always a good thing.
I'm going to go to a game that we talked about earlier, and I really like this Chargers-New England game. I think it's going to be scoring. I think there's going to be a lot of garbage points on one side or the other, most likely on the Chargers side. A lot of garbage yards. No idea what to think of the Chargers. Probably like their tight end, which I'll save for later. But I'm going to probably pick the New England's and probably pick someone that maybe plays a little bit more in the slot. It's tough to say. They move people around a lot. But I like Denver. Patriots receivers, and I'd be starting pretty much any one of them if I had them on my team. Definitely Hogan, and probably would even consider I would consider Amendola as well. And I guess I didn't mention him earlier, but you still got to like James White coming out of the backfield too.
Yep. Another receiver that I like a lot, another fairly big name, Dez Bryant. No Josh Norman for Washington. He is going to be all over Washington this weekend. Again, not having to face Josh Norman, those two have a heated rivalry. I think Dez Bryant has a huge game, especially when he plays those in-division games. I always like him, minus the Giants, because Janoris Jenkins always does a really good job on Dez Bryant. But with no Josh Norman, I like Dez a lot against Washington. I think he has his best game of the year.
All right. We'll have to keep an eye on Josh Norman if he's officially out or not. I don't know if that's been ruled, but definitely huge upgrade if he doesn't play. How about any sits for wide receivers?
I'm sitting Alshon Jeffrey despite the matchup against San Fran, which might sound crazy because it's San Fran, but Alshon Jeffrey hasn't had, 2 touchdowns on the year, but you look at the amount of catches he's been getting, only one game in the year with over 4 catches, 0 100-yard receiving games. And for the most part, he's been, you look at the last few games, 5 points, 11 points, 6 points, 11, 9. His only good week was week 2 against the Kansas City Chiefs, which, shocking there, 22 points for Alshon against the Kansas City Chiefs secondary. So a game against San Fran where I think Philly's going to get up early. They're playing San Fran at home. They're going to spread the ball around. Zach Ertz has been the guy in Philly. They're going to run the ball a lot. I expect their running backs to get touchdowns in this game. I don't like Alshon Jeffrey, and despite the you know, if you own Alshon Jeffrey, a lot of people are probably like, well, he's gonna finally break out this game against San Fran. If I have a better option, I'm definitely going with it over Alshon. We've talked about, you know, for example, for a flex type situation, I would have no problem, you know, going with one of the players that we talked about over Alshon. I think Theo Riddick would be very close. Jalen Richard, these are all players that I basically think are toss-ups with Alshon, which is kind of crazy considering where Alshon was drafted going into the year.
I think one of the just the key people that I have in terms of a sit would be in the Houston game. You can't sit Hopkins, but you mentioned earlier, just don't love the matchup that Houston has against Seattle, and you can't sit Hopkins, but Will Fuller, I think is sittable. I think he is yep. sittable. He's got like 8 catches and 5 touchdowns. A good amount of them have come on long, long plays, and Seattle's just not going to allow one of those 30, 40, 50-yard touchdown passes. So not that he can't maybe catch one when they get close to the end zone, obviously, but I don't think he's going to get the long touchdown. He doesn't catch a lot of passes. It's a really tough matchup. Will Fuller would be one that I'd be staying away from.
Yeah, and a player that another receiver that I dropped in one of our leagues that I think is definitely benchable or droppable is Danny Amendola. 2 weeks in a row, single-digit points. There's just New England spreading the ball around too much. Now Deion Lewis is a bigger factor. You know, Gronk has been a bigger factor. They spread the ball around too much. You can't start Danny Amendola. He had a stretch 3 or 4 weeks in a row when he did really well, but I think Danny Amendola is someone you have to bench or drop if you have him.
Yeah, and I know I just commented that, you know, I like the New England team, so that's definitely a tough one there, because I really like the matchup against the Chargers, specifically if they put Amendola in the slot and they have the two decent outside corners for L.A. It still sounds so weird saying that. So I think we're a little off on that, knowing that, you know, 4 out of the last 5 games Amendola played still had 7 or, you know, 15 points. Definitely last week against Atlanta on a complete blowout, only 4 points. So that wasn't great. But I think his floor is at least 7, which is not great. But knowing the scoring and potential upside, he's a long shot. But I still like him because I like the team and the scenario and the team output. So let's move on to tight ends, though, Seth. Let's quickly run through your starts at tight end.
So I like Jordan Reed a lot. I saw, I don't want to say I saw all that I needed to see from him last week, but he's been on the field all week. He missed week 3, but he's been actually remarkably healthy for Jordan Reed standards, which is really the only question mark that I have from him. He's talented enough that I just feel like these games are gonna come, like the game that we saw last Monday night against Philadelphia. Playing Dallas, I think he had a big game last week on Thanksgiving against Dallas, if I remember correctly. I love Jordan Reed this week. I think he's probably my number one tight end this week. Evan Ingram is on bye. Delanie Walker is on bye. So, you know, Zach Ertz is always a solid play. Travis Kelce is a very solid play. They have as solid floors as you can possibly find in a tight end. But Jordan Reed has the most upside. And on any given week when he's healthy and he has a plus matchup, Jordan Reed is going to be the highest upside play at the tight end position.
Yep, and everyone who watched the game was like, well, hey, they're still using Vernon Davis a ton. Yeah, they are. Maybe they're using him a lot more than they used to, but it's at least keeping Jordan Reed healthy. Jordan Reed still had more than double of the routes run percentages, 70 to 32% Jordan Reed over Vernon Davis, and still had a much higher target share percentage on the team at 21% over Vernon Davis's 10. So, and that was actually, so, you know, he's still getting the ball a lot, had the highest team target share percentage to Seth's point. So he's a good start.
And I don't even really care what Vernon Davis is doing, if he's on the field for a lot of snaps or if he's getting catches. Because they use Jordan Reed mainly as a receiver. He is a mismatch. He's a matchup nightmare. He's like the Jimmy Graham was when he played for the New Orleans Saints. You really can't even call him a tight end. So yeah, Vernon Davis is in there to block, and he's going to spell him, which is going to help keep him healthy, like you said. But I just look at it as, you know, look at the other options on that offense. Jameson Crowder has done nothing all year. Terrell Pryor has been invisible. That's good for Jordan Reed because that opens up more opportunities for him. So if you were to tell me Vernon Davis is going to be active and he's going to be part of the game plan, but Terrell Pryor and Jameson Crowder won't be, I'll take that swap any day of the week.
My main tight end start is back to this Chargers-New England game with Hunter Henry.
You're all in on this Chargers game, aren't
you? I can't wait till it's like 20-10, and I just completely look like a moron. But I don't know. I just think there's a lot to like, even if there's not a ton of scoring, which I still think there's going to be a good amount of scoring, you know, mid to high 20s. But there's just going to be a lot of yards. They'll be kind of moving the ball somewhat up and down a lot. Even if it doesn't catch no touchdown, I think there's going to be a lot of yards, and there's going to be a lot of first downs, which is going to be a lot of receptions. I think there's going to be a lot kind of going on in this game. And Hunter Henry, yeah, all in.
And my last tight end before we wrap up is Tyler Kroft. Like him a lot. I think he gets in the end zone this week against Indianapolis. I like pretty much all of Cincinnati's weapons, minus Jeremy Hill and Brandon LaFell. And I think Tyler Kroft gets in the end zone. I think they're going to have a lot of red zone opportunities. And again, he's young. He's got the right measurables, the size. He's still kind of picking it up with no Tyler Eifert. So I think this is going to be as big of a game as week four against Cleveland. But I think he gets at least one touchdown. So I like Tyler Kroft. If you're in a miserable tight end situation like I am in a couple leagues where I'm forced to start him, I'm actually starting him in my flex in one league. So,
not great, but he's got a good matchup. So who is any of your sits for the week for tight end?
Tight ends is tough for sits. It's not like wide receivers or running backs because there's only so many startable tight ends. So if you have, you know, Cameron Brate as your tight end, you probably have to start him. You know, if you have Kyle Rudolph, you probably have to start him. It's not a position that you can really stream unless you literally have nobody and you're just picking up a new one each week, like I do in a league, one of the leagues that I'm in. So I don't know if there's a tight end that I would absolutely sit. I think Jason Witten is one that I don't love. Jason Witten, I guess he's been solid this year, but if you have a better option than Jason Witten, I would start him. But the problem is with tight ends, if you have Jason Witten as your tight end, you probably don't have a better option because very few people roster multiple tight ends.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Well, on that set, that is our week 8 stream start sits. Best of luck to everyone. We'll be back on Tuesday with our week 9 waiver wire episode. Visit us online at NFLTalkingHeads.com for the waiver wire article, of course. You can follow us on Twitter at NFL Talking Heads or Facebook there. You can also follow Seth at Seth_Lull. And you can always visit the Talking Heads Nation to help support the podcast at TalkingHeadsNation.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull. We'll catch you next time.